clenched his fists on his lap. The plane could develop engine trouble. We could divert the flight to some other airport, a military base. The president's smile faded. You really think they're going to hit San Francisco?
I think they might try.
Might.
If they do.
Norm, you've sat in on those intelligence briefings as often as I have. The North Koreans don't have a missile that can reach San Francisco.
Maybe not.
Hell, the last time they launched a missile, it flopped into the middle of the Pacific. Besides, I've checked the reports, the president went on. I haven't been sitting back here playing solitaire, Norm. I do my homework. According to the latest intelligence estimates, the North Koreans do not have a missile with a range to reach San Francisco, nor the accuracy, and especially not the reliability.
And you're willing to pin your life to that?
The president hesitated for the slightest fraction of a heartbeat, then said firmly, "Yes, I am." Foster looked around the compartment, gathering his thoughts. Then he said, "There's this guy from the NIC sitting in on the special situation team we put together."
"In the Pentagon?"
"Right," Foster nodded. "He's insisting that the North Koreans are aiming for San Francisco, specifically because they know you're going to be there tonight. He's running counter to the intelligence reports. He's got the representative from your national security advisor worried enough, so she got him to put in another call to us here, warning us."
"One guy from the NIC?" the president asked.
"What's his background? What does he know about the missiles the North Koreans have?"
"I don't know.
I don't even know his name. But he claims that if they could deliver a nuke into orbit and knock out all the communication satellites, the same kind of missile could hit San Francisco."
The president leaned back in his chair and stroked his chin thoughtfully.
"One guy," he muttered.
Foster nodded.
"What's his background? Where's he from? Could be a Republican who wants to make me look bad."
Foster threw his hands up in the air.
"For Christ's sakes, we're talking nuclear war here."
"We are talking," the president said coldly, precisely, "about an unsubstantiated theory by some unknown guy from the National Intelligence Committee.
Look, there's a lot at stake here. The chances of the gooks nuking San Francisco might be damn small, but the consequences, if they do, are huge. Enormous.
That's what my science advisor says about global warming, for God's sake.
Tell the pilot to divert to an Air Force base. Tell him to say we've got engine troubles. Tell—"
The pilot's voice broke in from the intercom speaker set into the compartments overhead.
"We are on final approach to San Francisco, sir. Please fasten your seatbelt."
The president glanced at the speaker grill, then back at the friend and companion who had guided him to the White House.
"Too late, Norm. We're there."
Able 1. Laser Fuel Tank Section. Harry made his way aft, down the length of the big coil, through a narrow hatch and into the plane's rearmost section, where the stainless steel fuel tanks full of liquefied oxygen and iodine stood man-tall and frosted with rime. Rosenberg and Reyes were right behind him. Harry could feel their resentment at his insisting that they check every square centimeter of the tankage all over again. It took the better part of an hour, but at last Harry was satisfied that the tanks were properly filled at their correct cryogenic temperatures and, most important of all, not leaking. Now the two engineers stood glumly before Harry, both of them waiting for